So let's come before the Father. Father, we do thank you again this morning for the marriage relationship. And I pray for Preston and Brianna, Lord, as they are preparing to enter into this here relationship. They have made this commitment to each other already. And Lord, I just pray that you would pour out your spirit on them. A preparation for it, Lord, that it would be a good time of fellowship with each other and also fellowship with you. Father, we release them to you. Lord, I release Denny to you. Father, I thank you that you have created this vessel of clay that can speak words. And I thank you, Father, that he is an instrument that you can use to minister to us this morning. Father, I pray that you would break through our hearts, Lord, and speak to us and minister to our spirits that we might go away encouraged, challenged, and whatever it is that you have for us this morning, we release you to do a work among us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. God bless you. This morning, these songs that we just sung, all over the passion and the identity of those songs was commitment. You know, there's statements like, Jesus, Lord over all. Jesus is Lord over all. But the pointed question, and that the answer must be answered to the question is this. Is he Lord of you? Is he Lord of you? Is he Lord of me? Is that who Christ really is? I remember Sunday school lesson, just a bit touch on that and then we'll move on. But the whole concept of offenses, I just really encourage you as believers today, don't be easily offended. You know, in most cases, what offenses are all about, church? It's pretty simple. My pride has been hurt. It's just pretty simple. There was a brother in our assembly where we were attending church, well, still are. And this man, you see, I came from a culture where blue jeans were the most efficient, low-cost pair of pants that you could wear. So what did I wear? I came from a poor family. I had two pair of pants for the week. I had two shirts for the week. Huh? You try that one. Take some ingenuity and some thinking ahead on mom. There were seven of us. And this guy blows in the door, and on Wednesday evening, I had on a pair of blue jeans to the Wednesday evening prayer meeting. This guy was offended. So he said, he draws me aside, and he began to read me my rights, basically. Now, I had a choice. Was I tempted? I was for a bit. I just have to be honest. Because there was a bear that growled inside of me. How many of you know about that bear, huh? Sometimes he just gives this low, guttural growl. But I had to quickly quiet the voice of the bear by the authority of the Holy Spirit. There's the key, my dear people. What does it matter whether I wore that pair of blue jeans due to his offense, or was I going to destroy the brother by my continuing wearing of blue jeans? I have never worn another pair of blue jeans to any church service. I committed in my heart, I will not be an offense. And so this morning, as you think about that, I'm encouraging you. And in most cases, it is simply because my pride has been tampered with. Now, if you look at the seriousness of those offenses, it's quite serious, because Jesus said, if you offend one of these little ones, it was better for you a millstone hanged about your neck, that's a big miller's wheel, and you were drowned in the depths of the sea. My friend, that's serious in my calculation of God's word. That means you offend to the point where they no longer follow Jesus Christ. Let's take serious what God's Word said. And the theme this weekend is the authority of God's Word. So this morning, as you have committed that Jesus is Lord of all, we're going to look at two kings, and we're going to look at two kingdoms. And let us see where each will take us on this journey called life. Now, with much shame and regret, I look back at my younger years, and the reality of loving a kingdom that takes you down, the evidence is there. My comrades begin to die by my side in the lost state to eternity. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something here this morning. Life for me is not a game. It's reality. It's truth. There's destinations. There are kings. There are principalities. There are powers. There are rulers of darkness in dark, dark places. The one king's establishment. And as I behold his glory this morning, I see the glory. I see Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of God interceding for me this morning. That's my king, church. That's the king whom I love. That's the king who I adore, and I bow in worship to worship and adoration and praise to this king. But there is another king, and this king rules the world. He's the ruler of darkness. He's the ruler of destruction. He's the ruler of the identity of hell. And I tell you this morning, my dear people, heaven is reality and hell is reality. This is not a buffet, a smorgasbord, where I choose the identity of what I want to feed at. You are either feeding with the king of righteousness, holiness, and eternity of bliss, or you are feeding with the king of destruction in the pits of hell. It's just pretty simple, my dear people. And I committed when God told me at the end of my road to go preach the gospel, I committed to preach the truth and tell you the truth at all times. I don't water down the truth. I'm not going to make you feel good, those kind of things. I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. I want you to think about the rich man. The Bible gives record of a man who decided he loved the king of this world more than he loved the identity of the king who brings deliverance. The Bible tells us something about that man. It says that in hell, he lift up his eyes. That means that man could see. He could see in hell. Hell is not fiction this morning, my dear people. He done something else. He could talk. He said to Father Abraham, "Oh, send somebody. Tell my brothers, because they're living the same passion of life that I live. Tell them to spare them." God had a response to that. He said, "If you don't believe the prophets and those that I've sent, why would they believe someone from the dead?" He could do something else. He could feel. He said, "Oh, Father Abraham, send Lazarus just to dip his finger in water and put it on my tongue because I am in pain." You know what hell is all about this morning, church? Hell is about a bottomless pit. It's a place where the fire doesn't quit. It's a place where the worm doesn't end. There's wailing, there's gnashing of teeth. And I think the greatest torment is this: son, remember, remember, remember. Remember the morning you sat in this service. Did you yield your life to the authority of Jesus Christ and his power, or in a stubborn, rebellious, resisting spirit, you continued to say, "No, Lord, no, Lord"? This is what hell is all about. It was never created for man. The distinction of that is clear in God's word. It was never created for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. That's what it was created for. Now we have all kinds of plaguing darts at Christ today. You're loving God. You're talking about, why would he send anybody to hell? He doesn't, is the answer. Christ's not sending anybody to hell. I'm going to tell you something. If you wind up at the end of your journey of life in hell, it's because you chose to go there. This morning, all the provisions have been made. The war has been fought. The battle is won. And Jesus Christ is King. He's King. He's my King. He's Lord of Lords. He is everything to me this morning, my dear people. This morning, there are two kings. There are two kingdoms. We must choose. We must choose. And what will your choice be? This morning, for a little bit, I'd like to look at the identity of the one king and look at the identity of the other. And we find that in the book of John, 1 John. And notice what it says. So if you have your Bibles, I just encourage you all, it's a good idea to carry the copies of your scriptures or have them in your heart. You know, when I started preaching, I'll just be real transparent this morning. When I started preaching, I kind of went to a seminar where they teach you how to preach, and I realized, I guess I'm not a preacher, because I didn't fit the criteria. And so I came home quite frustrated, and I began to digest what I had learned and begin to analyze it. And so I put together some notes, and I tried to use these notes, and it was real conflicting for me, because I'd be ahead of the notes and I'd be behind the notes and I'd just be all over. And I said, "Lord, this is not working." And finally he said, "Here's what I want from you. I want you to have it in your heart. I want you to have it in your heart." You know, we made a exploratory trip to Nigeria, Africa. And in that particular trip, there was no Bible to lay my hands on. God challenged me to have it in my heart. I just pass that challenge along to each of us this morning. Have the Word of God, your final authority, in your heart at all times. At all times. Learn what God's Word is all about. Well, this king that I'm telling you about that I serve is pretty exciting to me. He's vibrant. He's alive. He's reality. He's glory. And I could just go on. He's sovereign. He's righteous. He's holy. He's just. He's good. He's wrath. He's judgment. And the list goes on. This is the king that I want to introduce to you this morning that I serve. He's the one of power, of authority, of glory, and I see his glory every day that I live. Well, what's he about? In verse 3, chapter 1 of 1 John, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Then they go on and they say, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now this morning, I'd like for you to analyze something in your life. Are you happy or are you joyful? Which are you this morning? Happiness is an emotion. It is triggered by experience. Joy is a foundation of everlasting contentment, whereby it is established in the authority of the King you serve. That's what joy is. And joy is not dependent upon your circumstance. Joy is dependent upon your deliverance. That's what joy is about. You know, sometimes, for a brief moment, God allows me to recall my past. And you know what I do, church? I turn and I praise Him as I see my deliverance. This morning, do we have the assurance of salvation based upon the fact, your faith being put into that fact that Jesus died, He rose again, He shed His blood, and He lives this morning? Is that where your faith is? You know, we have a squirrel there at church that teaches me a lot about this. And this guy has a mind to run a picket fence that's about that wide. I'm guessing no more than an inch. Now, a squirrel has a bushy tail, and he puts his faith in the fact that he can hang on. So this guy was running this fence one day, and so I walked up to this squirrel, and I pressed him a little bit. Brought to recollection God's word. You know what happened to that squirrel? His focus was the fact of the fence. That was his deliverance to get away from me. His faith was put in the fact that he could hang on to that fence, but I watched his tail, and you know what it done? It was all over the place. It went woo, 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 up, down, round, round, all over the place. And I'm thinking, you know, Lord, that's a perfect illustration of where I must place my faith in the fact of who God really is. Now, if you're going to attempt to place faith in anything else, especially your emotions, one day you will be saved and the next you will be lost. You see what I'm saying? Jesus said, I am the sure foundation. And any man that builds, any man, woman, whoever, that builds on me shall never crumble nor fail. This morning, church. It's the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. But let's look at what this foundation looks like. It says this. This then is a message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now listen, my dear people. If you're looking in the dark room for deliverance, you will not find it because God is not the operator of darkness. God does not operate in the dark room. The Bible just told us that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So if you're really going to find what you really desire in looking for something in life, step out of the dark room into the marvelous light, and He will give you life. He will give you life. Now, the devil would lead us to believe today that the carnality of the flesh, the security of what feels good to me, is what we should be in pursuit of. So now we have people today who have turned to alcohol, they have turned to drugs, they have turned to fornication, they have turned to adultery, they have turned to homosexuality, they have turned to gossip, they have turned to slander. By the way, what value is gossip in the church body? Oh, you know, so-and-so done this. I'm just sharing this for a prayer request. No! Reality is you're sinning because you're gossiping. If you're so concerned about that person, get down on your knees in your closet and cry out to the Lord for deliverance. Don't tell your neighbor. Don't tell your fellow man. And sometimes my wife and I do a skit sometimes about the nominal sins of the church, which are gossip, evil thinking. You know, we don't come right out and kill somebody. Now, we don't pick up the gun and go over and shoot brother so-and-so because, oh, and another term is, I just dislike them. I don't hate them. Listen, it's pretty black and white. Either you love them or you hate them. It's just pretty simple. And so we find ourselves putting a glorious picture to sin. And we call those nominal sins. And in this skit, it reveals the identity of some people that had an issue with the song Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. Well, they had an issue to sing that because they said, we are not wretches. Listen, it's demonstrated by some glasses of clear water where you take some mud and you put it in the glass. You ask the individual to identify their wretchedness by how much dirt they put into this glass. And when they're done, you ask them to drink it. No one will drink the glass. No one will drink the muddy water. If it's then sanctioned in the presence of the Lord, why can we not drink? You see, the Bible says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Isn't this beautiful, church? It's so beautiful and simple, but we make it so complicated by our pride, by our arrogance, by our hatred, by our defiance of the King that we say we really love. You know where God really wants us this morning, church? He is shattered, he is broken out of our control, where we have no authority or even can begin to imagine of putting ourselves back together. You know why Peter walked on water? You know why he did? He left everything that was secure to him. Jesus comes walking on the water, and they cry out, and they're thinking it's a spirit. And Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. And Peter said, if it's you, Lord, ask me to walk on water. And Jesus said, come. Now, there were 12 or 11 other men in that boat, as I recall, and they never walked on water. They had just seen this great miracle of the feeding of 5,000, maybe up to 20,000 people, if you calculate children, wives, and all of that. I don't know exactly how many were there. They had seen this miracle, and then Jesus says, walk on water. I'm here to tell you something this morning in simple relationship to our lives. When we let go of the thing that brings security to me, you and I will walk on water. That's the Jesus that I serve. I see miracles before my eyes all the time. That God is alive. He is evident everywhere I look. And I was sharing with some of them the other night. It's the evidence of this God is even on the back of a donkey. Isn't that amazing? Jesus rode that animal into Jerusalem. As a result, there is a cross on every purebred donkey. It's a different colored hair than the rest of the donkey, and it goes down the back, and it goes right behind the two front shoulders. Check it out. See if what I'm telling you is truth. But the reality of God's existence is everywhere, and God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why our prisons today of incarceration are continually being built greater and greater and greater. Men are not finding this concept of truth in God's word, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If you flip your Bibles real quickly back to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter, I want to show you something that Christ instructs us. He says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be which find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And then many times, church, we stop right there. But notice the next statement of Jesus. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Now, I want to tell you something about this fruit this morning. This is not a fruit that can be manufactured. This is not a fruit that can be produced. This fruit comes from a person called the precious Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And when Jesus Christ comes in to reside in your life, and he becomes the love of your life, and the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, you bring forth fruit. The fruit is evident. You bring forth fruit. Notice something else. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. They are not interchangeable. It can't be done. It can't be manufactured. And while you may be saying in your heart by now, well, preacher, do you think you're perfect? Listen, the Apostle Paul says, I have not yet attained, but I ask you to do something. Fall before this King that you love and ask him to give you a heart that desires to repent. A heart of repentance. As the Holy Spirit convicts, I repent, he guides. He convicts, I repent, he guides. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's to convict you and to guide you into all truth. You see, and he is so faithful. He is so faithful in guiding us into all truth. And there's one day, my dear people, that I'm going to lay the armor down. I'm going to lay it down because the battle is won. It's over. It's done. And I am home. Hallelujah for that day. I'm living my life for that day. I'm pressing into that day. By the way, this morning, how many of you really want to go to heaven? That's great. How many of you want to go today? It's not quite so great. It's not really a trick question, but it's a question of reality. Ask yourself the question, what would make you desire to stay here? Stay here. You may say, well, I want to stay with my wife. I challenge you, take your wife with you. I want to stay with my children. No, take your children with you. Last night we seen just numbers of commitments in the whole concept of godly leaders. I challenge you men again by the authority of Scripture. Be all and more of that what you've committed last night. Set your heart to it. Sell out to the authority of Jesus' precious Spirit in your life to rise, to be men that rise to the challenge of godliness, of holiness, of separation to this present world. Well, this is the King that I serve. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, I will in no wise cast him out. 12 years ago, I nearly died. No physician could figure out what it was all about, nor could they diagnose it. And my family doctor, if I can say it, my family doctor finally leveled with me and he said, I'll tell you what's wrong with you. I said, please, doc, I'd like to know. He said, you're crazy. Try that one. Not quite in that language, but that was his insinuation. I said, well, thanks, Doc. I appreciate your information, but I really don't need that kind of encouragement. And I walked out. Seen like 7 different doctors, surgeons, CAT scans, blood work, and the results were always the same. You are the healthiest man that walks through these doors. Isn't that impressive? I said, then what's wrong? I finally came to the point where I surrendered my physical body to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And you know what, people? I got so excited about going home that I was about to crawl out of my skin. And then my lovely wife told me something. She said, you're not going to die, but you're going to live. And then I was disappointed. I just have to be honest. I was disappointed. Not that I was going to live with her, but I was disappointed. I wasn't going to be in the presence of the Lord. And so then I began to readjust my heart concept of what living was all about. Well, about 2 o'clock in the morning, one morning, the devil shows up in my living room. He said something to me. Now listen, the secular world has a song that says, I went down to Georgia to duel with the devil, and you know all this commotion. They have no idea what they're saying. The Bible says that he is an accuser of the brethren. He is the father of all lies. He is the master of deception. How many of you ever met the devil in that manner? The sweat poured down over my face. I stand there speechless for a moment, and I said, Father, what do I tell him? You see, there's a name that the devil can't stand in. Stand before. And that name came to my heart, and what he told me. Jesus told me, if any man will come after me, I will in no wise cast them out. You see what the devil was telling me? You are a fool to believe. You are a fool to believe that this is truth. You are a fool to believe that you are forgiven. You are a fool. I said to him, I said, Jesus told me that if any man will come after him, I will in no wise cast him out. And I said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And he leaves me. You see, an experience I will never forget. An experience I will never forget. But the fact is, my dear people, unless Jesus Christ is Lord and is King, we will not stand with the enemy. I'm telling you here this morning, based on some of my past experiences, that the powers of darkness are extremely great. But you know what this morning, my dear people? I stand in the confidence of Jesus Christ, who is Lord, and Him alone. Well, I want to move on yet to one more section of Scripture as I look at another king. It says this in the 13th verse of the 2nd chapter, I write unto young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And then He gives us a command. Notice what it is. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This morning, there are a lot of people making the grave mistake of watching the world and doing the opposite. They're watching the world and they're doing the opposite. If the world is doing this, then surely I need to do this. Listen, let me share a testimony of reality when it comes to all of this. If that's who you are this morning, the world is giving you direction. If that's where you are this morning, the world is giving you the direction of how to live. We have a store back home, Pomida. I don't know if any of them exist in this part of the world or not, but they send me four, or they sent on that paper, four distinct outfits. One said, if you want to look sassy today, you wear this outfit. If you want to look sexy today, you wear this outfit. If you want to look, was it angry, you wear the, I forget what they all were. Identity of spirits of the world. Let me tell you something this morning. The world is a spirit. It is a spirit. It's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what the command is about. So, you know, you can look ever so pious and seem ever so spiritual, and you are a worldly person. I just hate to tell you that this morning, but you can be a worldly person because you have the spirit of the world within you. You are loving the spirit of the world. You're not loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, but you're loving the carnality of the world. Yet, you said, the world is doing this, so I'm not going to do this, so I'm okay. Listen, let's not be deceived. The Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever. My dear people, this morning, which king are you loving, and which kingdom are you loving? The king that you love, you will follow. The kingdom that you love, you will serve. There was an old Indian grandpa, had his grandson out in the woods, and the grandpa said, son, there's two wolves live within you. And the grandson was curious about this, and he said, grandpa, which wolf wins? You know what he told him? The one you feed the most. The one you feed the most. How many of us here this morning are in the Word of God every day of your life? I'm not asking for responses. How many of us are in the Word of God? How many of us are in the attitude of prayer and worship as we live? How many of us are accustomed to finding God at the altar of repentance and there worship and build those altars? Or how many of us are intrigued by the carnality of the spirit of the world? There used to be a song that said, not all that glitters is gold. Not all that glitters to you in this life, my dear friend, is of God. But much of it is of the spirit of the world. I want to demonstrate something this morning in closing. Why we sin. Why do we sin? Did you ever wonder? Maybe in your own life, I came out of a time of just devastation in my life, and sin was so much of a part of this man's life that it was travail to come out of that sin. I thought like the world. I acted like the world. I done what the world done. I was the world. And yet, I was marvelously transformed and begin to walk in the image and the purpose and the love of Jesus Christ and the temptations. You know, as I grow older, I've got the shield drawn. The sword is up. I'm prepared for battle. And you know what I hear, church? I hear the clang of swords, the clang of shields, because the war rages on. And you know where it's fought, my dear people? In your heart and mine. there's where the battle is fought. It's not fought because the king that I serve already won the battle. He's not defeated. He won't be defeated. But he's living forever in his glory, his sovereignty, his majesty, his power. Oh, worship him this morning, I beg of you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've not found that peace, if you've not enjoyed that glory, find it, I say. The Bible says, call on the name of the Lord. He's going to be found. Search for him with your whole heart. You're going to find him. He's not hidden in some desert, unreachable. But Jesus is here. His spirit, Joel said, will be poured on all flesh. Today is that day, my dear people. God has poured out his spirit in those last days for the divine purpose of surrender and simply kneeling and bowing and saying, Lord, I let go. Those things in the dark room will not bring you or take you where you want to go. Hear my heart. I'm a living testimony this morning. You're not going to find it there. But it's only in that marvelous light where God operates and functions. I hope this morning there's no car salesmen here. What I'm about to share with you has no reflection on a car salesman outside of the fact after I'm done, you may have a harder time to sell these people a car than before. How many of you have bought a car just recently? Yeah, there's a number of you. Car shopping can be travailing. It can be frustrating. I can't for the life of me figure out how they can get that much money in this flimsy hunk of metal. You know, back in our day, it was the muscle cars. It was fuel. It was engine. It was four gears on the floor. It was wide tires. And we're off. See, today it's all this computer techie stuff, and if the computer goes down, the brain goes down, you're in trouble. If whatever, just get rid of all that. I asked the one dealer recently, well, it's been some time ago, I said, can I just buy a strip down? I mean, crank down windows, four on the floor. Oh, no, he said, no. That's a time of the past. So then I guess I got to go back to the muscle cars. But here's what I want to share with you. The reason we sin. Say you and your wife have decided you need a vehicle, and so you agree on the price of $18,000. Now you've just recently had a baby, formula's quite expensive, you've got some payments, and you make this agreement, $18,000 is the limit. Okay, honey, I'm off. Pray for me that I do the right thing. Pray for me that I stay true, you know. So you walk up to this place where they sell these things, and there's this beautiful music is billowing out of this joint. Da-da-da-da-la, you know, just to relax you. And you open the door, and there's some friendly gentleman in there. How can I help you today? Well, come over here. I'll give you a cup of coffee. And so he gives you a cup of coffee. Sit down. What can I do for you today? Now, I want to tell you something about a car salesman. He needs to figure out what you can afford and where you are. Don't tell him. It's the last thing you do. Back in my younger years, I bought a brand new Chevy pickup, half ton, for $2,800. Can you imagine it? I walk into this place and I tell this guy, I gotta have a truck and I gotta buy one today. I said, I'm not into Jewin', I'm not into Dickerin', I'm not into any of this thing. Give me your best price the first time. And he shoots me a price of like $3,500. I said, I'll see you. I'm going to the next dealer. And I'm walking across the lot, and he's saying, hey, come back here, he's saying. I turned around to him. I said, I told you. He said, I have the real price. I said, what is it? $2,800. I said, I'll take the truck. Well, see, this salesman makes you comfortable. Then you sit down, and you begin to converse with this guy. He said, what do you want to spend? There's where you falter, my dear people. Don't tell him. But you tell him, 18,000 is the actual top. It's just a limit. That's all I can spend today. That's all. Oh, do I have the deal for you? Just a minute. Let me get this paper. So he whips out some paper of fantasy, and he brings it to you, and he says, you know, now, this vehicle is listed at $30,000. But till you get your rebates, till we take off everything that the government allows you, and the biggest gimmick I ever heard was the junk for clunk or whatever that saying was, to where you turn your old car in for a junk price. Well, take it to the local junkyard, and you'll probably get $500 more. You see? Well, he says, I got just the deal for you, $30,000. But we have all these rebates, and now I can get this car down to you for $24,000. He said, do you realize what kind of a deal that is? That's the deal of the week. I mean, $24,000. And so your eyes begin to gravitate, your first mistake, to that vehicle. Oh, buddy, this thing is shiny. It has the spinner Craigs. It has the 24-inch low-profile vehicle, and it just glows. It catches your attention, the lust of the eye. Salesman sees that. He says, well, open it up. So you take the next step of advancement in this vehicle. You go to the door, you open it up, and he says, look at this. It's completely leather. It has dual climate control. It has internet. It has video. It has anything you can imagine. And he said, just touch that steering wheel. Guess what? They've got that thing laced in leather. It feels good. It really does. So you grab a hold of the steering wheel and you falter for a minute. He says, well, get in and sit down. You take the step. You get in and you sit down, and it feels wonderful. This vehicle really does. It feels wonderful. He says, well, start it up. You start this thing up, and it is smooth. It runs smooth. You are falling in love with this vehicle. He says, let me get you a set of dealer plates, and you can take this car for a drive, and I know you will buy. You get in that car, you head down the highway, and there's never a vehicle felt so good. You get back from that little ride, and the dealer is, or the salesman is already there. He's got the contract written up. He slides that contract to you, and he says, sign here. You grab the pen, and your weak moment, you sign. The car is yours. $6,000 over the budget. You've got a new baby. You're already to the limit of your expenditures. Your wife's heart is probably racing at high altitude as you are making this choice, because she's saying, if he spends too much, there go groceries. By the way, man, women think with their heart. Did you know that? Men are bulldozers. They blaze paths. They really do. So you drive this thing home. But as you're driving home, reality becomes the identity of the moment. What have I done? You come home. You present the case to your lovely wife. She bursts out in tears, and the tears roll. Her body tremors. She said, we agreed. $18,000 is the absolute limit. How are we going to buy groceries? How are we going to make the mortgage payment? And the questions start rolling. That's what sin is all about this morning, my dear people. The devil brings you to the temptation. He makes you feel comfortable with what he's about to present to you. The flesh rises in the authority of the emotion to say, this feels good. How many people do you think that are incarcerated in Pendleton, Indiana, 1,800 men, plan to be there for life? Not a one of them. How many of you think in Newcastle, Indiana, 3,600 men incarcerated, plan to be there? Not a one of them. How many people do you think this morning plan to go to hell? Not a one of them. There's a few that will say, I don't want to go to heaven. I had a neighbor such as that. He said, I want to burn in hell with my buddies. I said, Charlie, I said, I beg of you, there are no buddies in hell. It's dog eat dog, it's fire, it's anguish, it's distress, and it's hell. He died 3 months later. I drove by. This tears me up, people. It just literally tears me up as I think about the possibility. And the latest statistics tell me that as I speak, every second, 2.5 people enter a Christless grave. They go to hell. Does that grip your heart this morning? Not only for your own life, but for the lives of the other. You know what the church is this morning? I want to encourage you. You know what the church is about? The last thing it's about is me. The last thing it's about this morning is me. My fulfillment, my desire, my offenses, my. Get rid of my, get rid of I, get rid of me. Surrender that unto the lordship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because the church is about Him. It's about His glory. It's about what pleases Him. And the church is a refuge for the dying about us who are about to sink for the last time. And they are crying, help, help. Now they do it in a number of ways. In crying for help, they grab the gun, they shoot people, they use alcohol, they use drugs, they use sex, and the list goes on this morning in their attempt to call out and say, I need help. This morning, I plead with you at the close of this service, if you are sitting here this morning with hidden sin in your life, you are living a defeated life. And unless it's repented of, it is a trip called the trip to hell and that identity. But this morning, if you have surrendered and the Lord Jesus Christ is the love of your life and He is authority of your life, you are glory bound. You see, it's from the beginning to the end that makes the difference. It's from the beginning to the end that makes the difference. I ask you this morning, where do you plan to live eternity? Where are you making provisions to live eternity? Is it heaven or is it hell? You can determine that by which king and kingdom you are loving. If you're loving the kingdom of the world, it's not going to take you there. It won't happen. But if you're loving the king and the kingdom of eternal bliss, my encouragement is keep following Him with all your heart, your soul, your strength. We look back and one day, I don't know if we'll be able to recall all these experiences. The Bible says in Revelation that God is going to wipe all tears from my eyes. And this remembrance in my body as I speak of a tormenting pain that I've had for 12 years is going to go away. I'm not going to have that anymore. I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to be in a glorified place. And by the way, this morning, if you don't like to worship here, if you don't worship and adore the King of Kings, it's not magic. You won't worship and adore the King of Kings there. You see, it's about the spirit of your heart, who you love. Where your allegiance is where your heart is. I have people tell me all the time, you can't see my heart. I say, yes, I can. I see you. I see you. Your heart is who you are. Your heart is who you are. Now, we all make mistakes. I'm not going there. We all have shortcomings because we have not yet attained. But when we repent, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins. We just read that this morning. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. A good true tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. The devil is the authority of the dark room. This morning, I would just like to, in closing, invite anyone here who is here this morning, and you are bound by the authority of sin. I don't care if you've named the name of Christ, if you've not. This morning, if you are bound by the authority of sin, I ask you, let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart this morning and allow him to come to dwell in you, to empower you, to fill you for the journey ahead, that you may see the glory of God. This morning, are we going to play a song, or what are we doing here as we think about this? I beg of you. I beg of you. I plead with you. There is no guarantee of my life out this door. There's no guarantee of my life to that door. There was a young girl years ago, was a very rebellious child, and she was running with the wrong crowd. She was running with the world. And her mother pled with her one night, and she said, "Please don't go." And they had purchased a fresh dozen of eggs in the trunk of that car. She said, "God will not be with you, dear daughter." She said, "If God's going to be with me, he's going to ride in the trunk." I ask you this morning, is God in the trunk of your life? Or is he in the heart of the energizing power that really matters? They left only a few miles down the road. They had an accident. Matter of fact, a fatal accident, as I recall. All four were killed. They came to investigate the scene. They opened the trunk, and in the trunk of that car was a dozen of eggs. Fully intact. Was God in the trunk? Yes, he was. God was in the trunk. Now this morning, I trust he's not in the trunk of your life, but I trust that he's Lord of your life. Listen, my dear people, it's not a shame to surrender. It's victory to surrender. That's what this is all about. Letting go of my securities, all that seems dear to me, and letting God be my King. Let's stand and think about our destination this morning. Let's stand and think about who we really are. Let's stand and let the Holy Spirit speak to our lives this morning. Where am I going to live eternity? You know, the Bible says it's not the big foxes that spoil the vines, but it's the little foxes that run around the vines of these grapes and these tender plants that snuff out the life. Maybe this morning you have hidden sin in your life whereby you feel pretty secure that nobody knows. I want to tell you something this morning. God knows. And I don't care if you go to the depths of the sea, the lowest part in the sea, God is there. I don't care if you go to the darkest forest, God is there. I don't care about the darkest night, God is there. And God's presence is evidence in hell. You will never get away from that. But you no longer at that day will have the opportunity to bend the knee. For as the tree lies, as the tree falls, so it lies. As the concrete sets, it is set. There is a time of destination determined. There is a place and a call for every heart. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and this morning he will give you rest. I guarantee you that. I know that by my deliverance this morning. Is there anyone that would just simply come, want to pray with me this morning, and Brother Luke or whoever, we'd like to pray with you that you really find what you're looking for. Maybe life looks hopeless this morning. Maybe there's no hope. There's no way out. The sin is too great. The defeat is too hard. Come. Jesus will meet you there. You will have Jesus to suffer with. It's not going to bring you a bed of roses. It's not going to bring you a glory trip where you sail in ease for the rest of your life. But it's going to bring you the power of God into your life, whereby God is King. And you can love that King with all your heart, with all your soul, every bit of your strength and your mind. Is there anyone this morning? Come. God bless you, sister. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Will you come? Will you come? Don't let God be Lord of the trunk of your life, but let Him be Lord of your life. Anyone else this morning knows what they need to do and they desire to do it? Or you can come to the cross. You can find victory. There's a peace that passes all understanding that the world knows nothing about. Is there anyone else this morning? You're not doing this for me, you're doing it for the glory of the Lord. God bless you. Is there anyone else this morning? Simply say, I come, Lord. I'm tired. I'm done. I want what you have. God bless you. God bless you. Is there anyone else this morning? You're not doing this on my behalf. You're doing this for the glory of the Lord. And there's such a peace. There's such a glory where God is. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords, He's my King this morning. He's my God. He's my everything. Is there anyone else? Come. Anyone else feel the Lord asking you to come? And then we want to close this invitation. It's not closed. It's still open. God bless you. Is there anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else this morning? One last time, quench not the Holy Spirit, nor refuse to yield to His calling. He is faithful. He knows what He's doing. He knows what life is all about. there anyone else? If not, I'll turn the time over to Brother Luke, and I want to pray. Go ahead.
Sign my pardon, this I surely